And then your job is to educate others and to learn how to reach them, how to talk to them. We got a great 4-CD set on vaccine update, 2009, a 4-CD set on the HPV vaccine, the Gardasil they're giving to all the girls to destroy their lives.
Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm pleased to announce a completely new and exciting way to listen to your favorite GCN Live program on your telephone. Simply by calling 712-338-7200, you'll be hearing your favorite GCN Live programs in seconds. Tune into all of our channels. I have made sure that everyone who wants to hear GCN Live will have the opportunity to do so. Call to listen at 712-338-7200. That's 712-338-7200. Thanks again for listening to GCNLive.com. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about...
You're listening to the Global Star Radio Network, located at Telstar 5 KU band, frequency 11836, symbol rate 20770. Thank you for listening.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you of the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and, well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Brian Garris, who is, of course, over there in the United Kingdom, and he's already working, trying to expose the forces that are at work, trying to destroy the sovereignty of Great Britain. And trying, of course, to bring about this one world government. Brian, thank you very much for being with us again.
Yes, well, good afternoon to you, and it's a good evening from me.
I know it is. I appreciate you staying up late. I know it's late over there, but it's vitally important that we get the information here to the American people, because what has happened in Europe, what has happened in Great Britain, simply foreshadows the plan of the globalists for what's going to happen here in the United States down the line. So why don't you just bring us up to date with what's going on and what's happening, and is there any sort of an organized resistance to the loss of all freedom and the destruction of the sovereignty of what was once Great Britain?
Well, excuse me, Dr. Stan, the thing I'd begin with is the fact that I'm really pleased to say that we are now starting to see signs of people waking up in UK. It's taken a long time coming, but we're now seeing more and more people talking about the right things, particularly on the internet. Instead of just talking about Europe, they're talking about how the United Kingdom is actually being dismantled from the inside, and I'll talk about how that's being done. But they're also now starting to talk in the streets, and there's a sense of unease in people, which is making them beginning to question what the government is doing, and that means that the truth is starting to spread. So although I'd like to see much more happening and faster, we're definitely seeing ordinary people in the streets starting to ask the right questions. And I believe this will begin to move quite quickly.
Well, what is it that's causing people to really be concerned? Is it the war, Great Britain's involvement in the war? What is it that's really getting people to begin to realize that something is seriously wrong, that you're not being told the truth, and that your leaders are betraying you?
Well, I think I'd point to two main factors. One of them, I use an expression which I've used quite a lot in the talks that I've given, and I always get a good response, and that is that nothing works in Great Britain anymore. It doesn't matter what you look at or what service you require, things which used to operate smoothly and efficiently don't work. So we can look at the public transport system, we can look at traffic, we can look at what's happening in schools, our medical system, the National Health Service, which has become chaotic, top-heavy management. People are suffering as a result of that. Military short of equipment and forces. Nothing is stable in the country. And if you say, what is the overall trend? The overall trend is decline. So that is one factor, which is a general worsening of social conditions and quality of life. People are not happy, and there's a feeling of constant change. But the other factor, which I think made a huge difference, was the financial problems that we had last year, and that started to rock people. They know that there's big problems with the banks. They've seen large banks going bankrupt. And we've seen a consolidation of banks under government control, which should be very worrying in a democratic country. And we now know that there's further major problems to come. And certainly in the City of London at the moment, financial experts are predicting that the US dollar is going to crash.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back.
Okay.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. I guess this afternoon is Brian Gerrish, and you'll be able to tell from his accent that, of course, he's British, and he's talking to us from Great Britain, and he's just talking about the fact that, at long last, the people of Great Britain are beginning to realize that something's seriously wrong. People are talking about it. People are beginning to say, well, we've got to do something about it. Of course, they have their real financial problems. A lot of their big banks have gone down. Certainly nothing works. The healthcare system there is collapsing from within. The transportation, everything run by the government is not working. And increasingly people are aware that something is seriously wrong. Now, there's going to be an election very, very soon, and I'm sure that the Labour Party will lose. But the problem is that the Conservative Party there is really controlled by at least the opposition, major opposition party, is controlled by the same people that control the Liberal Party. But they can't tell the people. It's like the Democrats and Republicans here. And they fight back and forth, and they yell back and forth, and they give speeches and pound the table. But at the very top, at the leadership level, why, they're all going the same direction. And they're globalists. They want, of course, to destroy in Great Britain the sovereignty of the nation. I mean, they'll say against it. I think wasn't it to Gordon Brown who promised there'd be an election, you know, before you went into the common market? But you pick up the story, Brian.
Well, that is absolutely true. He promised a referendum on whether Britain went fully into the European Union under the Lisbon Treaty. But that was never given. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, you're doing fine. Go right ahead, Brian.
Hello, Dr. Stan.
Yes, can you hear me? I can hear you fine.
I'm sorry, I've lost you this end.
I don't know what's going on, what I'll do is ask my secretary, can you hear me at all? I'll have to ask my producer then to give you a call back, see if we can get a better line. So anyway, of course, if my producer would call Brian right back again, why, we'll see if we can reach him and get him back on here. But of course, Brian can't hear us. So if you would go ahead and get Brian back on the line, hopefully we'll be able to get a good, better line with him. Basically, we must understand that the globalists are very, very smart people. They take both the political parties in most of the countries in Europe, and they control both of the political parties right here in the United States, and they make mockery of the so-called democratic process. Yes, we have some good congressmen, but unfortunately not very many. So let's go back and let's read. Brian, can you hear me now?
Yes, I can.
Okay, fine. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Brian Gerrish, and he's simply talking about what's going on over in Great Britain. And at long last, the people are beginning to understand what's going on. So you put the story up there. We had just mentioned, that, of course, that Gordon Brown, the Prime Minister, had promised the people of Great Britain that they would not go into the common market without a referendum, but knowing full well the people had no intention of voting in favor of it, he just lied, like our political leaders lie. It's perfectly all right to lie. What's so difficult is for the average Englishman or the average American to realize that our leaders will get up and on television before the whole country, and they'll simply lie. Remember when America was going to pull our troops out of Iraq? Barack Obama promised he'd get the American troops out of Iraq. And now they're talking about 2010 or 2011 or whenever they... Well, of course, we don't have any combat troops there now. We have no combat troops. If you believe that, you believe anything. Go right ahead, Brian.
Okay. Well, as I started to say, it was absolutely true. Gordon Brown lied to the country because he promised us a referendum, effectively a vote on whether we went fully into Europe or not. And then he's denied it. We've never had the vote. And we know at the moment that the policy units which are advising the Labour Party and the Conservative Party under Mr. Cameron and the Liberal Democrat Party under Mr. Clegg, we know that they're getting policy advice from exactly the same think tanks, of which one of the biggest ones causing the problem, in my opinion, is Demos. And what we are seeing is basically a Marxist base to the policy that all three major parties are putting in place. So they play act as if they are coming into things from a different direction, but what they're really doing is a continuation of the same policy. And I'll give you an example. We know at the moment that the Brown government is using Mr. Mandelson, and I'll come back to him, to attack our constitution. So they're looking at the moment of the Act of Settlement, and we think this is in order to make Scotland independent and start to break up the United Kingdom. They are messing around with the 1689 Bill of Rights, and this is going to affect our basis of common law. They're removing the rest of the treason laws, and that's obviously because they are committing treason. And they're looking at the line of succession to the throne, which in all probability is to facilitate the breaking away of a Catholic-based Scotland. So while Mr. Brown is doing this in the Labour Party, we have Mr. Cameron calling for more cuts in the number of MPs. He's calling for cuts in the NHS, up to 10% on the budget, which will cause huge problems in our healthcare. And we have Mr. Clegg on the sidelines echoing the same policy. So it doesn't matter whether the Conservatives or the Tories, as we call them, win the election. All that is going to happen is a continuation of the policy, just as Dr. Stan has mentioned. And if I may, on a light-hearted note, of course, the telephone was cut off just now, and I think it proves my point that nothing works in this country anymore.
Well, we don't have that problem very often, except maybe when we talk to Great Britain. But anyway, of course, certainly, how is the economy doing? How is the average individual doing? Have a lot of people losing their homes or losing their jobs?
Oh, yes, both is now starting to increase and to bite. We're having homes repossessed in record numbers, and the number of unemployed is rising steadily. And I can see that in my own area of Plymouth in the southwest of England, where we're seeing massive closures of the remains of our manufacturing industry, so that we're seeing a city which is devoid of all forms of manufacturing. And we're seeing the dockyard, that's the Navy dockyard there, a very big dockyard, that's declining. And my prediction is it will close. Now, what we are seeing is the country shut down piece by piece by piece. We're seeing our parliament shut down, and this is to weaken the country ready for Great Britain to be subsumed into the European Union. And all three parties are following this policy, even though we hear Mr. Cameron talking about jobs and revival of the economy. What is actually happening shows that this is absolutely impossible unless there is a major change in the way the country is governed. So we believe that Britain is being taken apart, power is being taken away from the country, from the from the people and from the nation in order to weaken us to allow us to be subsumed into the EU.
You know, I think it's so difficult for probably, I'm sure, for the average Englishman or for the average American to realize that the leaders of both political parties are globalists. The plan is to transfer the manufacturing and wealth and jobs of both countries to the third world countries. That's why, of course, we gave General Motors $50 billion so that they could expand their plants over there in China, and they're expanding them there. Just 2 weeks ago, they announced a big expansion of a new plant in China. They already have 8, and now they're going to have, I guess, 9, and, of course, they have all sorts of plants are expanding in India, and, of course, we gave the money to General Motors so that they could create jobs, and they are creating jobs in India and Brazil and, of course, in China and Russia. The average American, of course, can't believe, or the average Englishman can't believe that their leaders really say one thing and mean another, and their intent is to destroy Great Britain, in my estimation.
Well, that is undoubtedly happening, and I believe, from what I know and what I see, that exactly the same policy is happening in America, that power is being stripped out from inside the country. I'll just come back to our leaders. You mentioned Gordon Brown and Cameron. Of course, if we look at Gordon Brown, he was put in power by communists. That is provable. He was assisted into power by communists. This is where we see this Marxist undertone. And we've got Mr. Cameron, and we've got Mandelson, and we've got George Osborne, one of the other key figures in the Conservative Party, all linked in with the major international bankers, such as the House of Rothschild. So we are seeing that our politicians are no longer upstanding moral individuals. They are simply puppets of the international banking elite. There is absolutely no doubt about this now.
Well, of course, are your people over there really realize the implications of the Royal Institute of International Affairs, which is your counterpart of the Council on Foreign Relations, these people of great wealth, who are really intent upon destroying the sovereignty of your nation? Are people understand what this organization really is right there in London, been working for years to destroy your sovereignty?
The answer is, at the moment, they don't. But a key thing is happening, is that because people are now becoming unsettled, they know something's wrong, but they don't know what it is that when you have the opportunity to talk to people, you can mention these names, and instantly they say, what is that? Tell me about it. So if you mention the Royal Institute of International Affairs, or the Trilateral Commission, or the Bilderbergers, they will immediately say, what is that? And in the old days, when they were fat and happy, they weren't interested. Now, when you tell them what you know, they listen. But it is very difficult to convince people that we are watching a new world order, that is what it is, which is a centralized government for the world. It's being imposed by deceit. And at the end of the day, that new government is going to be one vicious dictatorship. All of the documents are there. You can see the organizations. We know that in UK at the moment, it is United Nations cells which are pushing the policy through into central government. And that policy is down to the level of deciding what sex education a five-year-old can or indeed should have, according to them.
Well,
what business is it of the United Nations to get involved in the running of family life?
And how much sex education you want to start in the kindergarten. But, of course, here, why we're telling them in kindergarten, homosexuality is perfectly all right. I mean, you know, I know it's that Johnny has two fathers, or Johnny has two mothers, something of the sort, and everything is aimed at destroying the moral fabric of society. Now, is there any organized opposition over there? I mean, are you seeing, you know, some political leaders standing up and taking a position of leadership? I know that you've been working very hard at this for some time.
Well, we're still not seeing political leaders stand up, or at least very few of them. And this is the problem, because when it is an individual or one or two individuals, they're very nervous, they're worried about their incomes, and at the moment, what is very clear to us is the majority of our politicians have been bought. They're only interested in the pay and the perks. And I don't know whether your American audience knows, but over the last few months there was a massive scandal to do with MPs in Parliament, because they had virtually all been abusing their expenses. And so while there's austerity for the rest of the country, the MPs are only interested in their money. However, ordinary groups are starting to work together. And the key is that the groups that were interested in set-piece topics, perhaps 9/11 and what the truth was over the Twin Towers, they are now beginning to work together. So we are seeing ordinary people and pressure groups starting to drop perhaps antagonisms and work together, because they realize how serious it is.
Well, I think just be careful, because they'll try to infiltrate them. They'll plant leaders there. They'll provide money if you just create an organization that doesn't accomplish anything. We're going to be back in just a moment with Brian Garish. Well, Sydney, it's fascinating, and we're seeing a lot of changes over here. We're beginning to see some real potential leaders rising up here in America, and so I'm guardedly optimistic, because so many of the problems of Europe and of Great Britain really originate here with the power brokers and of course, the close working relationship between the Rockefellers in the United States and the Rothschilds in Great Britain. Do most people really understand how powerful the Rothschild family is there in Great Britain and Europe?
No, they don't know that. But I think one of the things that is now starting to come into the public domain is this close relationship between the international bankers and our politicians. And we know that it is hand in pocket, hand in glove. You can't separate the two. Brown is surrounded by these people. Cameron is surrounded by them. Clegg is surrounded by them. And ordinary people are now concerned about their money. They don't trust the banks, quite rightly. And so when they now see international bankers clustered around our decision makers, people are at least starting to look in the right direction. But one of the things that I'd like to ask you about, because I'll come back to this point, we are being told from our sources in the City of London that the US dollar is going to come down due to the US debt, and that is going to cause a massive backlash on the pound. And we guess, I'll say guess at the moment, but we guess that there will be a big attack on the pound to weaken the pound, to force us into the euro, to the European currency. But certainly we are looking at a picture which shows international bankers starting to collapse the dollar. Are you getting the same picture?
Yes, certainly. I think it's only a matter of time before the dollar is replaced as the reserve currency of the world. In fact, what's really so interesting is apparently China and Hong Kong are both asking for a return of their gold that is being held in London. And the English, whoever is holding it over there, will not give it back. The Germans are asking for the return of the money that is being held here in the United States. I'm speaking now of gold and the gold that is being held. And we won't give the Germans their gold. The Arab states are asking for the gold, and I believe their gold is probably largely being held in London, and they won't give it to them. So, obviously, you know, somebody does not have the gold they're supposed to. The Chinese government has legalized gold in China. The Chinese people are buying gold and silver. China is increasing their gold holdings dramatically. And, of course, as this happens, it reflects the fact that the dollar is going to be destroyed as the reserve currency of the world. And somebody's going to end up as the major power. It may very well be communist China. I mean, they have massive reserves. It's the old idea. He who has the gold rules, and I share your concern, and it will be a terrible shock to the average American as they destroy the dollar. And when they do that, why, they'll lose, of course, their pension funds, their insurance policies, the value of their certificates of deposit. I mean, so many people are so wedded to wealth that they've forgotten about freedom. On the other hand, it might be the very best thing in the world, you know, if something were to happen, that people were to lose their affluence. People who are affluent really aren't concerned about concepts of freedom. When people lose their affluence, many times they begin thinking about what's really important. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Brian Garris was just saying that over there in the city, now you have to understand, the city is separate from London. The city is the financial center of Great Britain. Some people believe, and probably well so, that the city, it's about a mile square right in the middle of the city. It's got walls, it's got its own mayor, it's got its own police force. The Queen of England has to ask for permission to go into the city. This is where the financiers who rule the world have their offices, but the word is coming out of there that the dollar is going to crash very soon, and that will have a profound impact on what's going on as far as the British pound. Is that an accurate appraisal?
Yeah, that's absolutely correct, and I don't get any satisfaction about talking about serious things happening with the dollar, but this is one of the things that we believe. If we know information, if we've got a picture, we believe we've got a duty to warn people. And if your audience are asking, what can we do about this, that they need to get out, they need to talk to their local representative or senator, they need to demand what the truth is about the U.S. financial system, why it is no longer backed by gold, and why at the moment America is, well, do it the other way around. America needs to go back to the government issuing money and not allowing banks to print money to loan at high interest rates. This is the trouble we've got in the world at the moment, is a fractional banking system being run by bankers and not by the governments of nation states.
Well,
at the moment, we understand that the world debt is around $750 trillion, and that is a bubble which must burst. And the U.S. dollar at the moment is weak, and the intent is for that dollar to come down. There's no doubt about that in our mind.
Well, I think that you're absolutely right. And we had this story just this last week that a major Swiss bank, and in fact, I got the story from one of our friends in Great Britain, the story that circulated over there. I haven't heard it here, but a major Swiss bank has told all of their clients to get their money out of the United States, that suddenly the United States is desperate for money. And even though they're a Swiss citizen living in Switzerland, if they have any money invested in the United States, we'll find some vehicle, some means of twisting the law around so that they can, their entire estate can be taxed in the United States. And certainly America can go to any bank today and say, you do what we say, or else, as they've done with the Union Bank of Switzerland recently, I say, you're going to have to violate Swiss laws. We don't care what Swiss law is. We are in charge, and if you don't do what we say, you've got branches here in the United States, Union Bank of Switzerland, we'll just simply take them over. So this Union Bank of Switzerland is knuckled under, but the Swiss are telling their people, at least one major bank, get your money out of the United States and get it out now. So there's almost a sense of urgency, and certainly we hear stories about the embassies, American embassies throughout the world, are being told to buy up local currency, because the inference being the dollar may not be much good, I mean, later in the latter part of this year. I think something big's in the offing, and they're doing everything they can to keep the American people from knowing. It's sort of like Argentina when the peso was in trouble a few years ago, and the political leaders said, you've got nothing to worry about. Don't take your money out of Argentina. I mean, the peso is as solid as the dollar. And that was on Friday, and on Monday they said, sorry, we've just devalued 75%. You've lost 75% of everything you have in the bank. We lied. But then, of course, governments always lie, and I share your concern that something big is going to happen to the dollar, but the average individual has no idea because our media is as tightly controlled as yours is, and they're not going to tell the people the truth.
That's certainly true. I'd like to tell your listeners that, of course, one of the things that Gordon Brown did when he was in charge of the country's finances, which is he sold our gold reserves. At the time, I believe it was about 400 tons of gold. He sold it. And, of course, we've now got gold prices at over $1,000 an ounce. I think that's the correct price at the moment. And so Gordon Brown's single-handed decision has cost Britain billions of pounds. So with one hand, he does one thing, out of his mouth he says something different. But for ordinary people, gold prices are going to go up, and gold in your hand must be an important thing for those who are able to do it.
Amen to that. Well, of course, the average person is not in a position to do that. The average person here in the United States is just struggling. I mean, we've got between 25 and 30 million people either unemployed or underemployed or given up looking for work. I mean, suddenly people, 300,000 homes go into foreclosure every month. In fact, the latest news is, well, things were better in August. We had 1% less homes go into foreclosure than in July. Isn't that great? Things are really looking up. We'll be back in just a moment here.
Okay.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here, and of course our guest is Brian Garish. And Brian, you pick up the story there. Certainly, I'm glad that the people over there are aware of the financial problems. I hope at least that some of the people are making preparations. Otherwise, the people are not making preparations. The people who believe everything's fine, and here they keep telling us everything's fine. Look at those green shoots. We're coming out of the depression. Start investing again. You know, get to make back all the money you lost. And I think these people are in for a very big surprise, because we know that Warren Buffett, who is certainly one of the two wealthiest men, at least we never mentioned the Rockefellers over here, they're really the ones who are running the system, but Warren Buffett is very wealthy, and he's selling stocks. He's getting out of the stock market now and getting it into a bond, so we know something big is coming up. Warren Buffett's an insider. He knows what's going to happen. And I think everybody should be doing the same thing. And unfortunately, they're not. An awful lot of people are going to get wiped out. Well, Sydney, as far as you are concerned, Brian, are more people listening to the Internet? Because this is a wonderful means we have of getting information out we have never had before. If we had the Internet 20 years ago, I think we could have turned this thing around. But at least we have an awful lot of people who are getting on the Internet and getting some education. What about over there in Great Britain?
Oh, yes, that's certainly true. A lot more people using the Internet. And I think we can easily say that the Internet is proving effective for getting the truth out and getting people to start to work together, because we're now starting to see moves by the European Union as one body to place controls on the use of the Internet. And one of the ideas that's been put forward is that people will have to be registered in order to be an Internet user. And depending on why you're registered as a business or as an individual, there will be certain restrictions in the way you can use the Internet. So we're already seeing, I'll say, the authorities looking at ways that they can stop the rapid spread of information by the Internet. So I think that the Internet, we know it was set up.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment with Brian Garish. Well, this is Dr. Stan here. Our guest is Brian Garris, and we're talking about the Internet. But before we get back to that conversation, and certainly if you're out there in the listening audience, you have a question, our telephone number is 1-888. That's 888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. That's 464-8295 here in the Central Coast of California. But, Brian, would you like to get your website out there and tell our listeners what they can learn and where they can learn about what's happening, not only in Great Britain, but what's happening certainly with the European Union?
Well, okay. I'd like to just mention three websites, if I can. The first one, these are all www. So the first one is the BC Group. And the BC stands for British Constitution, but it's thebcgroup.org.uk. And that website is talking about what's happening in the country. And we are encouraging people to get involved with peaceful, lawful rebellion. We're saying to people, it is time that you started to stand up and be counted. But the right way to do it is peacefully and lawfully. And I'll talk about that a little bit later. The second website is to do with a newspaper that we run. It's the UK column, as in a newspaper column or Nelson's column, ukcolumn.org. And the final one is to do with the organisation Common Purpose, which I hope I'll get a chance to tell you a little bit more about. And that is CP, for Common Purpose, CP Exposed, that's all one word, .com.
Okay, that's the
BC Group.
The BC Group dot org, UK.
UK, correct.
www.ukcolumn.org.
Correct.
And cpexposed.com. That's Common Purpose, but cpexposed.com. And here's a source of information. You can find out what's happening in Great Britain. But you would like to tell us about Common Purpose and what this is about and what you hope to accomplish.
Well, I'm very grateful for the opportunity to talk about Common Purpose because we now know a lot more than when I first talked to you. The first time that you were kind enough to let me talk on your show. Essentially, Common Purpose is a political charity. It is working to install a political agenda and a new social agenda in the United Kingdom, and it is operating by reframing people's minds. So groups of individuals are brought together. They are given a course, which they call leadership, but what that course is actually doing is very skillfully reframing the way people think, both politically and socially. And these reframed individuals are then being injected into organizations, particularly public bodies and organizations close to the government, particularly policy making. And they are directing the United Kingdom towards this dramatic social and political change. Now, the techniques that they're using, the reframing, are based on neuro-linguistic programming, NLP. And if you go onto the website and just put in, sorry, if you go onto the internet and just put in NLP, you will start to read about courses which claim to change people's personalities and abilities. But what we are seeing Common Purpose do is use those techniques to achieve a political agenda. Now, a hot piece of news is that I was given an email a few days ago which said that the Obama administration has now set up a Common Purpose project which meets every Tuesday afternoon at the Capitol Hilton in Washington, D.C., and it includes top officials around the Obama administration. And they are looking to bring this agenda of change and progressive change into both public and corporate areas in the United States. Now, I find this very, very significant because common purpose has become tremendously powerful in UK. We knew that there were links through to America, and now suddenly we're seeing it right around Obama. And we should remember that both Obama and Gordon Brown have used the phrase common purpose in their speeches. I believe it was December 2007 for Obama and March 2008 for Gordon Brown. So we are seeing NLP, this is messing with your mind, being used in order to implement their particular political agendas.
Well, of course, they use the entire media over here in the United States to mess with people's minds. They watch television without realizing that so many of the programs have a hidden purpose, a secret message, and they know how to create our reality and to motivate us to create fear, to create longing, to create desire, to really motivate people, unfortunately, in the wrong direction. Well, I'm glad there is an opposition to it, and that is what cpexposed.com is all about. Let's go to David, who's calling us from Vermont. Hi, David. Do you have a question for our guest?
Yes, good evening. Please forgive me if I missed something, but does Britain have a fiat currency like we have here in the United States? Do they have...
Hello, Dr. Stan.
Yes, can you hear basically David's...
No, I'm afraid I can barely hear you now.
Okay, basically I'm going to ask David to hang up and I will just relay the message. We may be having a problem there. Basically, David wanted to know if you have a fiat currency, in other words, a non-gold-backed currency in Great Britain. Are you there? Well, I think we've lost, so we'll try to get Brian again. I'll ask my producer to try to get Brian back on the line, but I can answer that question. Yes, every nation in the world today is a fiat currency. If my producer is there, if they'll just try to get Brian back on the line, we lost him. As he says, things don't work very well there, but you have to understand they're planning on the same thing here in the United States. They're planning on running up the cost of electricity and then, of course, setting up a system that doesn't work very well. They're planning on taking over medicine and create a system that is not going to work very well. They are going to disrupt, you know, every aspect of our society. The United States went into Iraq, which was a highly developed country, and they had utilities, they had electricity and water and sewage, and just in a very short period of time, we destroyed that. That's what the reason we brought Mugabe to power in Rhodesia, to find out how long it would take to take a first world country and convert it into a third world country. They're doing that in Great Britain today, and they are doing that in the United States. They're going to lower our living standards. They're going to run up the cost of electricity, the cost of everything to the point where you're not going to afford it. They're going to destroy the value of your life savings and simply impoverish our people. Now, Brian, the caller had asked, does Great Britain have a fiat money system? In other words, a monetary system without gold.
Effectively, yes. In principle, we have the remains of it, but our currency is no longer backed by gold. If you look at one of our notes, one of our bills, it used to say, I promise to pay the bearer on demand in gold. And now it says, I just promised to pay the bearer on demand £10. So over a period of time, the gold backing has fallen away, and we have a completely fiat currency, which is why Gordon Brown and his team have been able to create £900 billion out of nothing. We can't pay for our education. We can't maintain our roads. We can't look after our medical care for people. But we can create $900 billion, and then we can allow our bankers to take huge profits and pay huge bonuses out of this money. It's ridiculous. The system is fraud. It's usury. And it is so obvious once you see it, and I didn't realize the system myself until a few years ago, so I was fooled. But once you see it, we are being conned, and we've been conned for many years. When America issued its own money, when the American government issued its own bills, the American economy was very strong. And the moment control of your money supply and the British money supply went to the international bankers, we were bought and we were then sold out by this fiat currency.
And I think that's absolutely true. In fact, here in America today, they're having to borrow $5 billion a day. That's what the current estimate is, $5 billion a day, simply to pay our bills, so that we can balance the budget at the end of the year, which, of course, is the end of this month, the 30th of September. The difficulty with that is, of course, why we do not use the same form of accounting for our government that we require every corporation to use. That's known as the GAAP, the General Accepted Accounting Program, General Accepted Programming Accounting Program, the GAAP. So the real debt is actually of $56 billion, and that was a year ago, according to David Walker, who is formerly the head of the GAO, who left there to try to sound the warning that America is bankrupt. But America is bankrupt will pull down Great Britain and Europe and the whole of the Western world. But that's exactly what they want. If you understand that's what they want, then it all makes sense, because we're shifting the center of power to the BRIC nations.
Dr. Stan, if I may, sorry to interject, but we can see that exactly the same system is being used as for the Wall Street crash, that people at the moment are being sucked into the system, into the stock market, so they're being given these lies that everything is fine and secure and you should reinvest. And then, of course, when the crash comes, people will lose even more. And we are seeing step by step by step a centralization of the banking system. So we hear about somebody like Lehman Brothers going bankrupt and people think that's just one bank. But, of course, what is really happening behind the scenes is that a small number of banks are becoming even more powerful, and they are doing this completely separate from any form of control from national government. They own the national government. They buy senators, they buy British MPs, and this system has got to be fully exposed. To correct it is so simple. For Americans, you need to demand that America goes back to printing its own currency and the government sets the rate of interest and banks are simply used to provide a service of that money to the general public, to people on the streets. But the issuing of money from a private banking system followed by high interest is usury. And it will destroy America. It will destroy Britain.
And, of course, right now, some of the credit cards are getting 15, 20, 25, 30% interest. And they planned this a long time ago. But, of course, the average individual doesn't understand that. If you're a major corporation, you want to borrow money, either you can't borrow it, or they're going to charge you 15, 20, 25% interest, and you can't survive at that sort of an interest rate. We used to call that usury. We don't anymore because, of course, the banks control the politicians. We have some of the finest politicians in Washington, D.C. that money could buy. We're going to try taking one more call and hope we don't lose you again, so you hang on there, Brian. Let's go. Is this Mary or Marty in New York?
Marty.
Marty, go ahead. Do you have a question?
Oh, yeah. Dr. Stan, you were right on about the case of Iraq being a developed nation. And I want to ask your guest about if he sees a 9/11 truth movement going anywhere.
All right, fine. I'm going to cut you off, so that. But you hang on, and we'll ask him the question. Okay, Monty?
Okay, Mark. Okay.
Okay, now, what about the 9/11 truth movement over there in Great Britain? Are people aware of the fact that, what we saw on 9/11 was not what really happened? In other words, we saw what they wanted us to see. We believe what they wanted us to believe. Are the people in Great Britain aware of the fact that this was a government, or let's put it this way, not government, but there is a black side, a group of very evil people, who actually did a controlled demolition on those buildings?
That view is again, that view is beginning to spread quite quickly. When the biological weapons expert, Dr. Kelly, died, people knew it was murder.
Now tell us a little bit about that. I don't know anything at all about him.
I just wanted to use that as an analogy. I'll come back to it, if I may, but to talk about the 9/11 truth movement, people have now looked at a lot of information on the internet. There's a lot of videos about it. They've watched those buildings come down in a controlled manner. They have seen the evidence removed. I learnt today that 60% of the people who were involved in the initial inquiry body in America have now said, as individuals, that the American government twisted the inquiry. It seems to me at the moment that the view that it was an engineered terrorist threat is beginning to grow significantly in the UK, and the 9/11 truth movement here is getting stronger, and many people are now listening, whereas before they used to feel that they were slightly wacko. Now they're listening to what they're saying, they're looking at the evidence, and for me, I'll give you a simple example. We are led to believe that a carbonaceous fire, an aviation fuel fire, burned hot enough to melt steel. That is a lie. It is untrue. If it were untrue, it would mean that every time there was a fire on board a steel ship, that ship would melt and sink. This is nonsense. So that was the first part that convinced me, and it's simple arguments and simple observations as to what happened with 9/11, which are giving ordinary people, it's making them curious, and what we've got to do is give them the evidence.
Well, I think we only have to remember those billows of dust. Where did those billows of dust come from? The pulverized cement. Well, if the building's just, pancaked, the cement wouldn't have been pulverized. It would have been in big chunks. But the cement was pulverized. The furniture was pulverized. 1,100 bodies were pulverized. They just simply were vaporized. How would a collapsing building vaporize 1,100 bodies and all those billows of cement? The only way you could do that was with some sort of an explosive process. We'll be back in just a moment. Well, Brian, you have 3 minutes to wrap up the program for us.
Okay. Well, I'll just add one more comment on 9/11, that in UK you only have to see the way in which the BBC has done everything possible to not have a detailed documentary on the 9/11 incident. Every time they've had a program on it, they refuse to show any of the evidence being brought to the surface about what happened, and they ridicule anybody who opposes the official view. And, of course, the only reason you would do that is to cover up the truth. But I'll leave that. I think the thing we should end on is that people out there, We're perhaps worried some people tonight. We're talking about the dollar coming down. We're talking about unemployment. We're talking about the country being pulled down. And people want to know what they can do. And I come back to say that the thing which we need to do is so simple. Tell the truth. When you're out with your friends, when you're in shops, when you're socializing with people, talk about what you know. Use the real words. Tell them that it's serious. It's an adult subject. Use the real words. And the other thing is that, no, not everybody can buy gold, but you can take sensible precautions and get in some basic supplies so that if there is problems with shops and provisions, you have basic stuff at home. do something, get something in, look after your family. And the other thing, which I think is so important, is to work with your friends and neighbours. When times get tough, it's going to be how you get on with your fellow man, with your fellow neighbour, and your family. Look after one another. This is a Christian thing to do, but that Christian help should be extended to anybody around you. But we have got to work together at a base level. The other thing is to challenge the people in authority. You can write letters, you can demonstrate, you can protest, you can hound your senator, but we need to get millions of people to start to say, no, we are not going to allow this to happen. We are not going to allow international banks to simply invent money. That's absolutely critical. So we are pushing for lawful rebellion. We've got another big conference coming up. We're getting a great response. We're saying no violence, but we want people to say no. We want them to rebel, and we're showing them ways to do that.
Well, God bless you for everything you're doing. Of course, our guest has been Brian Garris from Great Britain. Brian, we'll look forward to having you on again sometime real soon.
Thank you.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and we do hope, of course, you've enjoyed our interview with Brian Garris. We can't get to Dave from Vermont. We're run out of time, but he'll have to give us a call sometime next week. We'll be doing open lines then, and especially if my guests don't show up. But so far, we've been fortunate today, and we hope we'll be fortunate the rest of the week. Under any circumstances, we want to remind our listeners that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported. We've got over 60 outlets every week, and quite frankly, we need your help to continue doing what we're doing. And if you're in a position to help, we'd love to hear from you. And we appreciate those of you who stand with us in this truly spiritual battle for the souls of men and the survival of Christian civilization. Then, of course, we want to mention that we are having an all-day conference. It's going to be on October the 25th. It's going to be here on the central coast of California at the Aptos Seascape Golf Course. And we hope we'll have as good a turnout as we had last year. We'd like to have even better. Dr. Catherine Albright, William Grigg, Tom Horn, certainly going to be there. Ashley Moat will be coming, a member of the British Parliament. In fact, he just called me today, I should say the European Parliament, to tell us what's going on over there. So remember to give us a call at 1-800-544 if you can come, because we have to have reservations. We're going to be serving lunch, and it's always a good time. Everybody that, as far as I know, has been there, most of them have come back again if they possibly could. So if you're thinking of coming on October the 25th, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. How do you connect the dots? How do you understand what's going on? How do you understand what really happened on September 11th? Well, just ask yourself, how did they vaporize 1,100 bodies when you had the collapse? We've got a great set of DVDs. You get them individually on what happened, 9/11 mysteries, 9/11 architects and engineers for 9/11 truth. We've got Alex Jones's DVD on 9/11, but you can get five of them together at a very, very special price. We want you to get the information. We want you to know what happened. And if you have any question, simply go to our website, RadioLiberty.com, scroll down to videos, and then scroll down to the videos on the building number 7. That's building number 7. Watch building 7 come down. Watch the center of the building collapse first as they take out the center devices, center beams, and then supports, and then, of course, the base of the building gives way. How could that happen with a fire? It did not happen with a fire. The people were there in the building. Describe the explosions. They testified before the 9/11 committee. There was one man, a black man, who was there, who had actually been sent into the building to man the emergency headquarters, and he started to get out after the other twin towers came down. When, of course, the whole floor of the building collapsed and went back up, he was gotten out by the fire department. He eventually testified about the explosions in the building, and he was threatened. Eventually, he asked to have them pull the interviews that they'd done with him that were on one of the films, and then he died under very mysterious circumstances shortly after his testimony at the films of his telling about the explosions of the building. And this was fairly early in the day, shortly after the Twin Towers came down, but the building itself didn't collapse until the about 5 o'clock in the evening, something like that. Understand that they killed those people. Who are they? I don't know. But there were people who wanted to get us into a war with Afghanistan and Iraq because the American people didn't want to go to war. And you had to change their perspective, which is what I said. Hey, you can read my articles on that or get my little pamphlets on 9/11. And certainly, Condoleezza Rice said we had to have an incident to get the people behind the war. Brzezinski said the same thing in his book, The Grand Chessboard. We needed an incident. And the incident was September 11th. That's my interpretation, not theirs. Understand, we're involved in a spiritual